Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, I am Ghost Unknown of 403 Productions. Welcome to the Life of Universal Loving Radio Show. Start your spiritual walk. We will provide you inspirational guidance that is truly life-transforming. Let us teach you the essential virtues necessary to live your life filled with joyful effort, generosity, patience, moral discipline, concentration, and wisdom. We give you the necessary tools to cultivate the Bodhisattva life. Tenzin Norbu will be your guide on this wonderful journey to teach you how to find true and lasting happiness. You are listening to Universal Loving Radio Show, based in the heart of America, Omaha, Nebraska. Log on to thelifeofuniversalloving.org. Life, loving, loving.org. Thank you for listening. Blessings to you.
Greetings, fellow travelers on the path. I am your host, Tenzin Norbu. Welcome to the Life of Universal Loving. May we always find joy in our spiritual practices. The topic of today's program is Satyakara on Awareness Yoga. The call lines are open. You can call into the show at any time to comment on today's topic or ask questions. The telephone number to call is 310-388-9710. That's 310-388-9710. I welcome and encourage you to call. Everyone's perspective is welcome. Before we begin tonight's show, I'd like to offer a prayer. Homage to the Bodhisattva, the youthful Manjushri, the embodied representation of the wisdom of all the enlightened ones. May everyone find true and lasting happiness. May everyone find freedom from all forms of suffering. May everyone come to know that all of us can share in true and lasting happiness. And may everyone always experience joy in the happiness of others. May everyone abide in equanimity, equally wishing all others to find true and lasting happiness. And may we act, insofar as we able, to help others cross over troubled waters and reach the state beyond suffering. With body, speech, and mind, humbly I prostrate to all the Buddhas of the past, present, and future. For all of us, I give to the enlightened teachers of all times offerings of gratitude, both actually set out for them and mentally imagined. I confess all of my mistaken actions and rejoice in the virtues of all. I request the enlightened ones to remain as our teachers until all suffering is extinguished. May we be causes for all to attain the happiness that is without sorrow. Tonight's guest is Satyakara, author of Yoga Beyond Asana, The Complete Guide for Blissful Living. Satya is a founder of the spiritual nonprofit organization Path to Anandam, whose stated purpose is to guide you to reach your untapped eternal happiness, your bliss within. Satya's book has become a bestseller on Amazon.com, and right now it is available on Amazon's ebook edition for the special price of only 99 cents. Satya's mission in life is to live in love, peace, and anandam, and spread the same to others by leading, practicing, and propagating spiritual living. Although Satya and I teach using somewhat different words, and we practice in different religious traditions, I believe that we share the same goal of helping everyone to find true and lasting happiness by following a correct spiritual path. Tonight, Satya is going to give a teaching on what she calls awareness yoga. Welcome to the Life of Universal Loving, Satya. It is a pleasure to have you on the program again.
Thank you very much. For having me here. Namaste to everyone.
Well, it's certainly going to be a treat for our listeners to hear your perspective on how to develop spiritually through what you call awareness yoga. So I'm going to turn the program over to Satya now, and she will give her teaching on awareness yoga. Go ahead, Satya.
Namaste again to everyone. And before I go into awareness yoga, I would like to speak just about yoga, because yoga has become such a popular in last 10 years, and more than 20 million people are practicing yoga in United States alone. Unfortunately, yoga has been considered, or word has been interchangeable with the physical exercises. People just associate yoga means stretches, physical fitness, and different type of poses. The more you bend, more you can touch your toes, the better practitioner of the yoga you are. However, yoga has a very broader meaning. So I would just go with the definition, what yoga actually means. And from there, I will develop my talk to self-awareness and what self-awareness does and how it leads to the ultimate equanimity and blissful state of mind and body and connects us to the higher supreme. So the goal of yoga is not just physical, but to attain ultimate union with supreme and everlasting peace and bliss, which is called anandam, satchit anandam, and that is actually called self-realization, or we can call it liberation or moksha. The yoga word itself has come from Sanskrit root word yuj, to unite, to connect. So the yoga means the state of bliss, that is the freedom from miseries and sorrows, cycle of birth and death, bondage of karmas, cause and effect, and experiencing eternal love, peace, and happiness. And again, I would say sat, chit, ananda, or union within ourself, or in simple language, which is popularly known as oneness of body, mind, and soul. So yoga is, what is yoga? Yoga is the equanimity, serenity of mind. And there are many different type of yogas. In real sense, any activity which we devote toward Almighty, Divine, that is yoga. Any spiritual practice which brings us closer to God, closer to our within or supreme, that is yoga. So yoga has actually two meanings. One is the ultimate union, equanimity, serenity of mind, and also any activity that takes us toward God is also called yoga. For example, karma yoga, devotion yoga or bhakti yoga, raja yoga, surrender yoga. All these yogas basically bring us closer and closer to feel that eternal happiness, self-satisfaction, and realize who we are. So yoga basically gives us the meaning of who we are, where did we come from, and where will we go from here, and how should we live our life in this world so we can ultimately go to liberation. But before I start into that, into all the other yogas, I think of our very first yoga. We should be aware of it, that what is the awareness yoga? We have to be aware of ourselves and surroundings, and again ourself. So that self-awareness, which leads to equanimity, stability, calmness, serenity of mind, is called awareness yoga. Yoga also helps us to develop virtues like fearlessness, truthfulness, forgiveness, honesty, steadfastness, commitments, patience, etc. So again, I would say, what is the purpose of our life? Liberation, moksha, is the goal of our life, and so is the goal of yoga. And it can be achieved by constant inquiry, living self-awareness, every moment of our life, and act accordingly. And actually, the book Yoga Beyond Asana does start with very first yoga, which is called the self-awareness yoga. So what is again is the self-awareness yoga do for us, and how can we develop that? And how can we develop this equanimity and serenity in this world and in this body? In other words, how can we have a peaceful mind, heart filled with love, and then ready to share with the rest of the world? And ultimately, by doing that, we attain liberation, moksha, freedom from miseries of life, not just at the death, but in our day-to-day activities and in our day-to-day life. So we ultimately, our goal of life and the goal of yoga is to live in peace, love, and blissful life. So why, again, going back to it, how to develop this self-awareness yoga? And I would say there are three A's. I call them triple A strategy. And the word I use triple A because people in United States could very well relate to the triple A insurance. Anywhere you go, if you have insurance, you feel more secure. And if your car is broken down, you can immediately call them and they will show up. So this triple A strategy, I call it self-awareness, self-analysis, and then self-action for correction. And why we do that? Because in order for us to have a union or connection with ourselves and Almighty, with God, there are many elements in our mind, or we have old habits, we call them old information in our mind, which kinds of blocks us to reach to higher self. And we are always worrying, living in insomnia, being very greedy, living in ego, and having anger, jealousy, resentment, all these barriers. I call them barriers, or I call them 5+2 enemies, because there is anger, there is greed, there is discontentment, there is attachment, unduly attachment, selfishness. All these do not allow us to lead our happy life and bring peace in our mind and our heart filled with love. In other words, we have too much impurities in our mind, and we have to purify our mind, or take all these things, substitute them with positive thinking, with virtues, with good behavior. So these impurities do not cause us stress and diseases, because all this anger and negative emotions and stress, end of the day, our body is filled with all the stress, because all these negative emotions release toxins in our body. And then we get sick, we cannot sleep at night, have high blood pressure, and it reduces our immune system, which causes cancer, all the immune deficiency diseases like allergies, asthmas, and it mutates our genes. So in order to have a healthy body, mind filled with peace, and heart filled with love, we have to substitute these elements from our body with good behavior, more loving and compassion, and with more positive attitude, more forgiveness, fearless life, worry-free life, stress-free life, etc. But it's easy said than done. It cannot be just done just by speaking. It's not like it's a light switch. You can turn it off and on. It does require our commitment, our self-improvement, self-development. So I call it the union with self or yoga through self-purification and self-transformation. And how do we do it? We work on the strategy of AAA. So the first element in the AAA strategy is self-awareness. When we start living in self-awareness, then we can find out who we are at this moment, who we want to be, and who we are in real sense. Because when we live in the body, we think this body is the me. And that's what we call it, a lower self, because this body has a mind and mind has filled with the ego. So that takes us to lower self. So small s is lower self. Now going to higher self or union with God or having the yoga, we have to bring awareness in ourself and be aware of our behavior, our habits, and more so, all of my teachings are focusing on ourself and not blaming anybody else. When we start blaming other people and the situations, we lose our own responsibility. In other words, we do not take the responsibility of our own action because we keep blaming others. Therefore, we should focus on ourselves and be aware of our own life. And how we do it? We should ask questions. I call it self-awareness, self-inquiry, and ask questions. Why? Because lack of self-awareness is the cause of all the miseries in our life and also in the world. In other words, ignorance. Opposite word of self-awareness is ignorance. When we are ignored about the things, then we face a lot of miseries. Actually, it's a beautiful quote from Hazrat Anayat Khan. he says, the solution to the problem of the day is the awakening of the consciousness of humanity to the divinity within. So we must pay attention to our own behavior, habits, and again, do not blame and criticize others and the situations. Why? Because it is a waste of energy, time, and in real sense, it does not lead anywhere other than losing our own time. And of course, this will not take us to the supreme goal of our life, which means we want to get the liberation from miseries and also experience ultimate love, peace, and blissful life, joyful life, anandam, that satchit anandam. So self-awareness and self-inquiry is the first step to self-realization. In fact, I would call it that is the foundation for self-realization. So developing self-awareness and asking questions, again, is the key. So the questions I would ask, first question would be that the purpose of life. What is the purpose of my life? Why am I here? And am I working toward it? Then, of course, I will ask the question, how is my physical body? Do I have a good health? Do I have a lot of pains in my body? Do I have a high blood pressure? Is my heart functioning properly? Is all the walls, all the muscles are relaxed in my body? Am I relaxed? How do I think and how do I feel? The most important question. Do I think most of the time? And if I do, what do I think? Am I analyzing other people? Am I criticizing other people? Am I feeling sorry for myself? Am I feeling resentful and hated of other people because other people have done something wrong to me in my life? What am I thinking? Or am I thinking about my life, how wonderful life I have, how thankful I am to God? He has given me such a beautiful body. What can I do? How can I make a best use of this body? Do I think that way? Am I stressed? Am I impatient? Do I worry? Am I fearful? All these questions are very, very important. And also, what am I doing to take care of my issues? Everybody has issues in life. I have my own issues. You will have your own issues. Everyone has issues from morning to evening. We have to learn to resolve those issues. So only speaking philosophy and spirituality, unless we practice it and bring it in our daily life to resolve those issues, that is the best use of spirituality. Only speaking spirituality does not take us anywhere. It has to be part of our life. That's why we have to ask these questions. These questions are not just spiritual questions. These are our daily questions, which can combine with union ourselves. Spirituality is basically humanity, how we live our daily life happily and make ourselves not only live happily, but also help others to live happily. So these questions are, again, as I said, I will continue with these questions because these are very important questions. And the other question I will ask is, what are my actions? How do I speak? Do I speak honestly or do I lie sometime when I'm fearful? Or do I am an opportunist and I just say whatever people want to hear, not what I'm supposed to say? Do I speak softly? Do I speak lovingly? Am I aware of the people I have in my life, my friends? What kind of friends do I have? Do they have the similar goals? Who do I meet? What kind of colleagues I have? And also, which is very important, is the awareness of others. How can I help community, nation, and world? Do I help my community? Do I help my nation? Do I help my this world? So am I aware of purpose of my life? Am I aware of my physical body? Am I aware of my thoughts and feelings? Am I aware of my action and speech? Am I aware of my company, what kind of friends I have? And am I aware of others? In other words, community, nation, and world. These are the key questions we must ask, because self-inquiry, this is I call Bhagavad Gita, talks about the self-inquiry is the foundation to lead us to liberation. So when we ask these questions, we develop self-awareness. Now, when we ask these questions, then what do we do next? We have asked these questions. Now we have the list of the answers. I hope, please take the note. And when you get my book, Yoga Beyond Asana, you will find on day 6, the develop self-awareness and self-inquiry. Because the book is a 30-day spiritual guide, and day 6 you will learn about these questions. So please make a list. Once you make a list, then you can analyze it. Because the next step is self-analysis. So we ask those questions. When we have these answers, those answers will lead us to self-analysis for the next action for corrections. For example, if my answer is, yes, I am fearful and I am worried, my goal should be to become a fearless. So now there will be an action. If I get angry very often, then my goal would be to develop more compassion and love. So I have to have an action for that. If I have too many worldly desires, then my goal should be to develop contentment. In other words, I should have less wants and live with needs. So I have to learn how can I put the ceiling on my desires, because desires are not going to take me to liberation. I will be lost in this world. So how can I put the ceiling on the desires and develop more contentment? That will be the action. Am I very egoistic? Am I just talk about myself all the time? Me, me, me. And am I very selfish? I want everything for myself and I do not want to share with others. Then I have to develop more compassion for others and also become more sharing and giving and become less and less selfish and become more selfless. So what action will I take for that? Do I lie or am I truthful? And also, am I truthful to myself, what I think, and what are my actions are? Are my actions, my speech, are aligned with my thoughts? And if they are not, there is some disconnection. When I speak to people, do I speak honestly what I'm thinking, or I'm just saying what they like to hear? If that is the situation, I have to develop an action plan to correct that. Do I live in past and future? In other words, am I just thinking about past, what I have done, what happened to me, and I'm just making the plans for future? But I have to learn how to live in present time today, because today is the one who is going to build the tomorrow for me. So I have to take action for that. Do I hurt other people, or do I help them? Because humanity calls for help ever, hurt never. Satya Sai Baba always said, help ever, hurt never. Where am I in that respect? If I hurt other people through my thoughts, through my speech, through my action, then I have to have an action plan to correct that. Do I feel jealous about other people when they get it and I do not get it? Or they have a better job than me? Or they are more healthier than me? Do I become jealous about other people? If I do have a jealousy within me, I have to work toward changing or transforming my jealousy nature into more compassionate nature. I have to develop the virtue of compassion. Do I live in disturbances? Is my mind is peaceful? Am I peaceful? Am I calm? If not, what do I need to do? I have to have an action plan for that. And again, I just want to remind you, we are still working on our checklist, self-analysis checklist. So I will continue with that. And next one would be, do I feel unhappy, sad, or am I happy? Do I live in anandam? Do I live in a blissful state of mind? Do I talk too much? Do I practice silence at all? Am I sometimes quiet? Do I go within myself? If not, I have to start practicing silence, because silence will give me the connection with Supreme. Do I forgive myself? Do I forgive others what they have done to me, knowingly or unknowingly? Or do I forgive myself for mistakes I might have made, knowingly or unknowingly? If not, if I still pound myself and others, and I'm unhappy with others because whatever they have done to me, do I complain, or do I forgive them? Do I forgive myself? And if I don't, I need to develop the forgiveness. So we have to have an action plan for that. And then I have to observe myself. In other words, I have to witness, and observe my body, my mind, and see how this body behaves, how this mind thinks, and then learn to let go. And of course, prayer is a part of life. Am I leading a balanced life or not? Am I working too hard, too much? Am I eating too much? Am I sleeping too much? Am I talking too much? Because yoga cannot be achieved by the people who do not have a balanced life. There is a beautiful verse in Gita. It says that we must have a balanced life, and we should eat also good food. So in Gita chapter 6 verse 16, it says, true yoga is not possible for one who eats too much, who eats too little, sleeps too much, or sleeps too little. The one who is disciplined in moderating and balancing eating, recreation, working, sleeping, and walking, for him, yoga becomes the destroyer of all of his pains and miseries. And that is the Gita, verse 6:17. It also says that we should also eat healthy food. Balanced lifestyle is necessary to attain everlasting love, peace, and anandam. And eating healthy food, fresh vegetables, the fruit which is pure, it increases and gives us a longevity, strength, health, happiness, and cheerfulness. And those are the food which are pure, like fresh fruits, vegetables, etc. And they will give us the healthy body and healthy mind. So this is a list, again, for the self-analysis list. This is the, I call it the checklist. And then we have to have an action for self-correction. So now, what are those actions? And now we are moving into the third A. First A was for self-awareness. Second A was a self-list or self-analysis, with where we prepare the checklist of our analysis. And now we want to move to the third A, which is the self-action for self-correction, which will lead us to and help us to self-transformation. So what is that first action? First action is that we should make the goal of our life that we want to focus on ourselves from now on, and we want to have a self-development and also self-improvement. So the number one step, I call it seven steps. So the number one step will be focus on self and set the goals for self-improvement and self-development. Number two will be have a company of divine people. People who are aligned with your wavelength, your energy, and with your goals. If I want to have a self-salvation, and if I want to help others, then I should work with the people and have a company of the people who also want to help others. If I have a company of people who are very selfish, then those people will pull me down. For example, if I want to go and offer my services, I want to volunteer in some homeless or some shelters, and I have friends who just want to go to the beaches and movies, and which is, there is nothing wrong with that, but at that same time, they are going there and they kept asking me, no, let's go to movie, let's go to beach, and forget about that, going and doing the service. Then they will be continuously asking me to do that, and I might tilt back. Therefore, it is very good idea to have the people as you have a similar goals, similar energy, and similar wavelength. And then I would say we should practice the goodness, because goodness leads to divinity, union. And what does that goodness is? I call it a five monkey's goodness. Think good, see good, hear good, speak good, and do good. Think good means have a positive thoughts. See good means see the good things in other people rather than complaining about other people. And picking on other people, see the good things they have. They are beautiful people. Everybody in this world is so beautiful. God has not wasted his time to create unbeautiful people. Everybody has something in them. We call it everybody is divine. And they have a spark of divine within. It's our job to see that divinity in them. So see good. Hear good rather than hearing the gossips. Hear good things. There are plenty of good things in the world. Good music, good talks. There is no need to waste our energy on listening and hearing the things which can pull us down. In other words, listening too much gossip, bad music, hearing the bad music could lower our self-consciousness because your goal is to rise our conscious level. And we are basically cleansing our mind or the subconscious mind, which is the storage house for our old memories. We are trying to remove and substitute all these old negativity or old habits or old dogmas with the new behavior. In other words, we are developing new behavior now with these seven steps. So we have to be well disciplined in that. And then we have to speak good. We do not have to speak lies and abuse people with our mouth and tongue. We should make the best use of our tongue. And then we should make the best use of our hands and do the action. The fifth one is goodness in action. So do the work which could lead us to ultimate purpose of our life. So again, I will summarize these five. Make a best use of mind and practice goodness. Make a best use of our eyes and see goodness in other people. Make a best use of our ears and listen and hear good things. And make a best use of our tongue. And so tongue has basically two functions. So one is speak good and also eat good. And fifth one is hands. Make a best use of hands, not just on hands. Hands is the expression, but best use of this body. Every part of this body must be put in the practice of goodness. So that is our third step. And the fourth step, which is I call this practice selfless service, or Bhagavad Gita calls it karma yoga. And karma yoga has some ingredients, which is called selfless service, love and devotion. When you put these two ingredients, then you can offer your service with love and compassion to yourself and others. So love all, serve all. Satya Sai Baba always says, love all, serve all. And of course, we have to develop. Number fifth one is develop virtues. Generosity, we have to share. Whatever resources we have, that could be monetary, our knowledge, our service, we should always try to help others. We develop the forgiveness, as I mentioned before. We speak the truth. We develop the fearlessness, detachment, compassion, steadfastness, etc. And of course, faith is the biggest one. We should always have a faith. And then it comes, number six is the self-care. And the self-care, what do I mean by self-care here? Self-care means the physical body. Physical body, now the asanas come here. So as I mentioned very beginning, that in Western world, asanas and postures are associated with yoga. But there are other elements, like selfless service is called karma yoga. When you put the love in it, it's called devotion yoga. And when we do the asanas, that's a one part of yoga, physical exercises. But physical exercise, when it is done just as a physical exercise, then it could be exercise, just exercise. But when you combine your physical movements, exercise, physical postures, poses with the breath, then they become, it is called hatha yoga. And even now, if for physical aspect, there are so many different type of yogas. Vinyasa yoga, hatha yoga, and there is some heating yoga, and Iyengar yoga, and you name it. There are so many different type of physical exercise yogas based on the physical performance. But asanas are not completely done unless they are done with the breath. So when one is doing the asana, the movement of the body should be not done with just with the muscles. It should be done with the direction of the breath. So the more breath-based asanas you do, the less damage to the body, and you develop more flexibility in the body. And here I would speak about more on the breath pranayam part of it, because pranayam is the exercise of the breath. These are the breathing exercises. Why breathing exercises are so important? Because whether we like to or we do not like to, we are breathing every moment of our life. Without breath, we will be dead. So oxygen is very important for us. But what does this oxygen do? This also helps with the pranic energy, life force. So the controlling the flow of pranic energy is very, very important. In fact, asana and pranayam, breathing exercises, are the vehicle to expand our consciousness, our self-awareness, and harmonize the flow of energy. And when we focus on the breath and on the breathing exercise, that increases our self-awareness. because that is the starting point. We will talk more about it during the, in the meditation, but just I want you to just remember one point. Breathing is, focusing on the breathing exercises is the foundation for developing the self-awareness. The goal of pranayama is the is to balance the flows of pranic energy. In fact, prana is also known as qi in Chinese language and qi in Japanese. Many of you might have heard reiki, that qi comes from Japan, and reiki was developed in Japan, and that's where the name came from. So when we talk about energy, this pranic force, pranic energy, that is affiliated with the breathing exercises. And actually Krishna Macharya said so beautifully. He says, inhale and God approaches you. Hold the inhalation and God remains with you. Exhale and you approach God. Hold the exhalation and surrender to God. So when prana is flowing freely throughout our body, it not only stimulates the body and mind, but actually one feels very energetic. However, if the pranic energy is blocked and distorted, then one feels very weak and slows down his activity. However, through breathing exercises, we can become aware of our prana. And also, asanas and pranayams are the best means for developing self-awareness, self-purification, self-discipline of the mind, and actually they prepare us for the next step, which is meditation. So again, going back to, and I will de-emphasize, self-awareness and breathing. One could say they are interchangeable. If you pay attention to your breathing, you will automatically develop self-awareness. And once you develop the self-awareness, then you can do better self-analysis of yourself. You would know what is going on in within you, how to fix it. You would know how to take the action, what action will help you. In fact, you will become your own guru. Your inner conscious, your intuitions will always telling you what you should do to correct your issues. You will become your solution, problem solver yourself. So effectively that you will become like a walking computer and become the computer problem solver. And not only that, you will develop so much self-satisfaction. You will enjoy your spiritual journey so well. Here I want to emphasize one more thing. Like when we go for physical yoga, our journey is from home to yoga studio and come back, and keep going back and forth. But in true yoga, that is a spiritual journey that we continue from one level to the next level to the next level until we reach to the liberation. And every step and every level is so beautiful. You will enjoy every single step of it. So now I would like to speak a little bit more about the breath. As I said, voluntarily or non-voluntarily, we are breathing. In fact, we all breathe somewhere between 15 to 18 times per minute. And every breath has two segments, inhalation and exhalation. So 36 times per minute we are breathing in, taking breath in and out. So per day we take about 21,600 breaths times 2, inhalation and exhalation. So it becomes 43,600. And that speed of the breath becomes very high, especially for the A personality people, or when we are very active or we do certain activities, and it becomes very slow, which we sit and do meditation. In other words, when at that time our mind rays are at the beta level, then our breath is higher. When we go in the alpha level or when we breathe slowly, our mind gradually goes into the alpha level and then gamma level, more and more serene and serene and serene. So this is a relationship between the speed of the breath and the speed of the thoughts. In 1 minute, we have 36 thoughts because we have 36 inhalation, 18 inhalation and 18 exhalation. Each inhalation has a one thought. Each exhalation has a one thought. So 2 thoughts per second. So about 30 plus thoughts per minute. That's why we have so many thoughts per day. However, we keep thinking about same thing over and over and over, and that over and over thinking makes us so habitual. We keep thinking about it over and over about the same thing. It is very, very important to know this relationship, because when we meditate, our breathing becomes slower, and with the flow of breath, our thoughts become more slower and slower, and we get to the nothingness. Or basically, by doing all these spiritual practices, which I said is steps, we can call them those 6 spiritual practices. And then this spiritual practice of meditation is the one which really calms us down, and one should can only do it when they practice other spiritual practices. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult to control the mind and purify the mind, because other spiritual practices purify our mind and prepare us for meditation and experiencing the serenity of mind. So I would like to speak more about the meditation at this point. Meditation actually has 3 steps. One is called the contemplation. The second part is called the meditation. And then the third highest part, the third step in meditation is called samadhi. Samadhi means when one feels totally empty from all the miseries, or I would say complete with all the divinity qualities and all aligned with the Supreme. So this emptiness word is used more in Buddhism, and completeness is used more in Hinduism. But they both words have the same meaning. Because emptiness means when you are totally empty for anger, greed, upsetness, stress, misery, pain, and you are totally empty from all the negativity. And completeness means when you are totally complete. This universe is a complete. We came from the completeness, and we go back to the completeness. And this whole world is a manifestation of that completeness. That's what the Hindu philosophy talks about it. So when we are totally feel complete and totally enriched with love, peace and serenity and equanimity, that is the completeness in Hinduism. So again, I will focus more on the breath meditation and the contemplation on the breath. So for meditation, we have to make sure that we sit properly. And when I sit properly, you could sit any way you like. You could sit in any asana. You can sit on chair. You can sit on the floor. As long as you are not sleeping and you are sitting straight, your spine must be very straight, because there is a kundalini which is in the base of the spine, which is in the spiritual language, or it is called the Mooladhara Chakra. It resides in the tailbone of the spine, which is the Mooladhara Chakra. And then it goes all the way to the seventh chakra, which is on the top of the head. So the energy flows from the tailbone to all the way to the top of the head. And that can only be accomplished if we are sitting straight. If we are bending forward or backward, then the energy will get blocked. I can give you an analogy here. If there is a current is flowing, but there are the wires which are kind of tangled, like Christmas time, if you are putting the lights on, and if the wires are all tangled and the light bulbs are all tangled and they get disturbed, then you cannot get the complete current flow and you will not have all the Christmas lights light up. Similarly, if the current is not flowing well, we will not experience that energy throughout our body and that awareness in our body. So it is very important to sit straight, relax, and you can put your hands on the side of the knees, but I prefer to put the hands, both hands in the lap. I like to sit in the, we call it a Sukhasana or cross legs, and put both hands in the middle of the, on top of the legs, and make sure your abdominal area is free and not have any leather belt or any kind of tightness around stomach, around your belly button. Otherwise, that will cause the problem in flow of the energy. And while sitting, you might feel uncomfortable. Once you get into that position, make sure your shoulders, neck, all is aligned. And when that is aligned, just gently close your eyes. And I call this meditation is A, B, C, L. A means awareness, B means breath, C means contemplation on the breath, and L means ultimately experiencing the light. So after sitting straight, putting the hands in your lap, just relax and make sure your muscles, your facial muscles are not tight. In fact, try to smile. And then let's take 3 deep breaths. And then exhale. So keep inhaling and exhaling. 3 deep breaths. And now, again, breathe 3 times deep, but this time, with every exhalation, say to yourself quietly, or maybe you can say it loud, relax. So let's take a deep breath. Relax. 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 And now, breathe normally. And just check your posture, your neck, your back, to make sure everything is aligned and relaxed, and feel that relaxation in your body. And now let's focus on your nostrils area and focus on your breath and just follow your breath. And just travel with the breath from nostril area to your lungs and feel that your lungs are filling. Every cell of your lungs is filled with this pure oxygen. Just feel the lungs are filled with this pure energy. And this pure energy, pure oxygen, this pranic energy is going into the bloodstream in the body, going to the heart, every artery of the heart, the part of the lower part of the body. All the arteries are filling and taking the pure oxygen into the stomach area. Into the thighs. Please feel it when I say the name of the parts of the body. Please go with this beautiful journey from thighs to knees. And be aware of your thighs, knees, with this pure energy, bloodstream, which is filled with pure oxygen going into your legs area, to the ankles, to the feet, all the way to the toes. Feel the flow of pure oxygen energy, pure energy, that divine energy. It's filling the whole body, the whole lower part of your body. Feel. And now move upward in the body from the toes to the feet to the ankle to the legs to the knees to the thighs to the hips to the stomach. To the chest area, feel the ground you are sitting on, how it feels. Be aware of your body. And feel how your heart is filled with this pure energy. Aware of that love feeling, forgiveness feeling. The heart is filled with love and compassion, with that pure energy. And now, move upward of the body toward the shoulders and be aware that how the shoulders are filled with that calm, pure healing energy, that divine energy, which is now extending to all the way to the back of your body, to your spine, and whole back, and every vertebra of your spine is filled with this divine, pure energy. Just feel it, experience it. And now be aware of that energy is flowing from your shoulders to your arms, upper arms, and going down. To your elbows, to your wrist, to your fingers, all the way to the fingernails. Feel it, that your both the arms are filled with the divine energy. Be aware of that energy, the flow of energy.
And now come back, going from fingers to elbows to arms to the neck area. And filling the whole face, the divine energy is full in your mouth, the tongue is filled with divine energy, every teeth in the mouth is filled with divine energy. Just feel it, experience it. And be aware of it. And now it's filling both the ears. And filling the cheeks. You might feel some sensation on your cheeks. Just let it be. Just move on. And now observe that beautiful divine energy going to into your eyes. And from eyes going to the forehead, and focus on the forehead and see that beautiful golden light. And move upward all the way to center of the head and all around it, and feel the sensation, feel that energy. That golden energy, divine, healing, pure energy is enriching your entire body. Just witness it like you are on the top floor, like you are in the plane and you are witnessing all the things on the ground and the mountains. Like you are in the plane, you just witness, just enjoy that beautiful sensation, serenity of the mind, that equanimity. And let go. Just let go. Just surrender and let go and be totally in silent and witness and experience that beautiful energy. Flowing in your body, in every cell of your body, every atom, every electron, every neutron in your body is filled with pure divine energy. Feel that every nucleus, every DNA in the body, every gene, every nucleotide of the gene is filled with this pure, divine, infinite, cosmic, universal energy. feel your heart is filled with love, peace, and bliss. And just sit together with me. I am love, I am peace, I am Ananda. You are love, you are peace, you are Ananda. Everyone is love, everyone is peace, everyone is Ananda. We are all blissful, joyful. That's what Ananda means. We are all filled with love, peace, and Ananda. And now, we send this love, peace, and blissful energy to our near and dear family members. And extend it to our whole community, wherever you are, in your town, in your city, in your state, in the entire USA, Canada, in the entire universe, in the whole world, India, Pakistan, Israel, Europe, Africa, all over the world, send this divine, pure energy so everyone can experience this love, peace, and Anandam like you are experiencing. Send this energy to all the living beings and non-living beings, all the rivers, all the oceans, all the birds, all the mountains, trees, the sky, everywhere just send this love, peace, and Anandam. And now experience the union of yourself expanding and merging with the love, peace, and Anandam energy of the entire universe. And feel connected and united and feel oneness with the Supreme Consciousness. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Now, rub your hands and put it on your head and massage your whole body with the energy, because you have created a lot of positive energy, healing energy in your hands. So massage your whole body. And now, rub your hands again and put it on the part of the body which might require special attention, like your knees or back or neck or your shoulders. And let it sit there for 10, 30 seconds or 30 seconds or 1 minute. And you can do it as many times as you want, because your hands are full of divine energy. healing energy. Now rub your hands again and put it on your eyes and slowly open your eyes. Namaste, and thank you very much for being a part of this divine experience and sharing with rest of the universe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Namaste.
Thank you very much for the teaching, Satya. It was wonderful. We're going to take a short break now, and when we return, I'll have some comments on your teaching, and if any of our listeners would like to ask questions, this would be a good time to call. So the number to call to ask a question or make a comment is 310-388-9710. Choose option 1 to speak to the host. You've been listening to The Life of Universal Loving.
Are you seeking to share universal loving? Are you on the journey to live a life transformed, to become a Buddha for the benefit of all? Follow the path that leads to lasting happiness by experiencing the God of Love. Let Ocean of Compassion teach you how to put into practice the virtues of joyful effort, generosity, patience, moral discipline, concentration, and wisdom. Expressed in poetic form, Ocean of Compassion can help you change your thoughts, words, and actions to live a meaningful life, one in which you truly love your neighbor as yourself, the Bodhisattva life. Get your copy of Ocean of Compassion at thelifeofuniversalloving.org. For more details, call 719-660-6888. That again is 719-660-6888. Live your life filled with joyful effort, generosity, patience, moral discipline, concentration, and wisdom. You are listening to Universal Loving Radio Show. Blessings to you.
Universal Loving Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Life of Universal Loving. I'm your host, Tenzin Norbu. Tonight's guest teacher has been Satya Kaura, author of Yoga Beyond Asana. I have a few comments that I'd like to make on it. As I said in the beginning, I believe that Satya and I are teaching the same path, but we use somewhat different words. From the Buddhist point of view, we have to understand that we use words and we organize our behavior in ways that will help us advance along the spiritual path. And so, from that point of view, there's nothing magical about any particular way of expressing the path as long as it helps us to transform our minds in the way that we need to transform them in order to walk the path. Now, from the point of view of both Buddhism and Hinduism, we can think of one major way of organizing how we'll think about the teachings in terms of three concepts: the problem, the goal, and the path. Now, Satya expressed that the problem is that we experience suffering because of the ways our minds are ignorantly functioning, causing us to engage in both behaviors and thoughts that are negative. And the goal is to reach what she calls Anandam, which is the blissful mind that the Buddhists call the supreme mind of union, which is also a mind of great bliss. So that's the goal. And, of course, the path is the way we describe ways in which we need to practice in order to transform our minds from the suffering, ignorant mind we have into the mind of great bliss. Now, Satya uses the term yoga, which I haven't used very often, but if you've been listening recently, you know that we recently did an episode on the guru yoga of Jay Tsongkhapa. This is a kind of devotional yoga, and Satya mentioned devotional yoga. And in general, she pointed out that yoga is a word for the types of practices that we engage in that lead us to the transformation of our ignorant minds, our unaware ignorant minds, into the blissful mind of enlightenment. And so we use the term yoga also in Buddhism, and another type of yoga, which I haven't talked about yet, but at some point I will, is what we call Tantra yoga, and that's very similar to the way in which Satya was talking about the transformation of our energies and through the central channel going from our tailbone to the top of our head through the chakras. So that's not this is not terminology that I've talked about yet, but it's not something that is foreign to Buddhism. Now, another thing that I'd like to comment on is Satya's processes related to the concept of awareness. I've taught you renunciation, which is the belief that the worldly concerns we have are the concerns that lock us into our suffering existence, and we need to develop an attitude that these worldly goals are not worth seeking in and of themselves, but these goals are only worthwhile to us insofar as they help us to walk the spiritual path. I've also blogged and briefly talked about the two concepts that we call mindfulness and alertness, where mindfulness is being aware of all of the phenomena of our experience, and alertness is being alert to the character of these thoughts and emotions and feelings as to whether they're either spiritually helpful or harmful. And Satya gave you very valuable teachings on these processes tonight. She talked about a number of values, using somewhat different words, but if you listen carefully, you'll find that within them, you can find the way we break up our talk about how to walk the path in terms of the six perfections of generosity, patience, joyful effort, moral discipline, concentration, and wisdom. And so I hope you've benefited from listening to Satya's way of explaining the path. Different people find different ways of expressing the path helpful, and I am very glad to have brought to you Satya's teachings tonight so that you can have another perspective on the path that leads to true and lasting happiness. And so, Satya, I'm very, very happy that you've appeared as a guest on the program tonight, and I'd like to offer you this opportunity now to give any other final teachings that you'd like to give to our listeners.
Thank you very much again. And as I would like to mention, that what are the benefits people are going to receive by practicing awareness yoga? The number one, as I said, awareness, I can give you an analogy, is like a rope or like a thread. When you are flying the kite, and you have to have that thread attached to it. The self-awareness is that thread. And you become light like a kite, and you fly like a kite. Or you are a balloon with helium. And that helium is your awareness. The more awareness you develop through the breathing, with the breath, when you focus on your breath, when you are walking, pay attention to your breath. And with the breath, how your feet are moving, how your energy is flowing. When you're doing something, driving the car, how the breath is going, that energy is going into your body, and how it is helping you to steer the steering. How you can change directions, how you can change the lanes, how your mind is with this energy, how your mind is directing you to go to different directions. So pay attention to the breath, and once you start paying attention to your breath, There are certain breathing exercises which I did not do, and I think some other time I will get a chance to do it, because on the radio it is very hard to teach, because you kind of have to see it, what I mean by how you breathe more smoothly and from one nostril to other nostril, etc. But just by following your normal breath and travel with it, you will develop a lot of awareness. And once you develop the awareness, as I said before, you will become your own master. You will know what is the issue you have, how to solve those issues, and how to enjoy solving them and enjoying them. So ultimately, you will have a healthy body, healthy mind, and you will be connected not just to yourself, but to the Supreme and to the rest of the world. So you will become more positive and less negative, and have more faith in yourself and in the universe. So continue to have these spiritual practices, and all the practices might not be for you. You might be more inclined towards selfless service or more devotional yoga or more compassionate way of practicing, or you might be more introverted and you might be more meditational type. But whatever your path is, continue to nurture yourself and have a one thought for yourself, and that is that God has put you on this earth for some purpose. And that purpose is only one, that find that beautiful soul within this body or whoever, whatever you are carrying. You are a beautiful person, and believe in yourself and consider yourself that beautiful person, and enjoy this spiritual journey. And more, when you enjoy it, you will feel more happy and you will be able to distribute that happiness to others. And once you have it, your body will not be able to hold this love, peace, and happiness within. You will be bound to give it to others. So first, develop this love, peace in yourself and nurture it, cultivate it, and then share it with the rest of the world. And as again you mentioned that this book has become my book, that Yoga Beyond Asana, the Complete Guide for Blissful Life. This is a 30-day spiritual journey and one message per day to practice, and this is basically for most busiest people. So if one thinks that I'm so busy to read, it's not much to read there, because on the one side of the page it's only 50 words and the right side of the page are only about 100 words. So it's very little to read, but more profound messages and how to practice them. And then at the end of the book there is a daily planner. It's a daily spiritual practice planner. So you can practice it, checklist it, and you can get it from Amazon.com and also from my website. But Amazon.com is running right now the bestseller. It became the bestseller 2 days ago. So do not miss out this golden opportunity to download only for 99 cents, because we would like to get this information to as many hands as possible. And one more thing I wanted to add, all the proceeds from this book go to the philanthropic causes. So you will be supporting the philanthropic causes, like some children who cannot have education so they can go to school, people who do not have food, they can eat the food, and they do not have the home, so they can have some homes. So whatever your, every single penny of your money, 100% goes to support these philanthropic causes all over the world.
So God bless you and be a part of this philanthropic causes, and also enjoy this beautiful spiritual journey and enjoy your life and reach your unlimited potential and feel good about yourself and feel good about this world, because God has created this beautiful soul, and enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much for being a guest in the program, Satya. I very much enjoyed your teaching and guided meditation.
Thank you.
As a reminder to our listeners, Satya's book, Yoga Beyond Asana, The Complete Guide to the Blissful Life, is available in ebook on Amazon.com at the special price of only 99 cents. And Asana is spelled A as in Alpha, S as in Sierra, A as in Alpha, N as November, and A as in Alpha. So in the time left, I'm going to play a few songs for you. And also I'd like to point out that I will be unavailable on October 29th, and Satya has very graciously agreed to be the guest host on that night. So if you've enjoyed her very much, you can look forward to hearing from her again on October 29th. The next song I'm going to play is A Passage to Tibet from Buddha Bar 4. Thank you.
Shakti, Adi Shakti, Namo Namo. Sarva Shakti, Sarva Shakti, Sarva Shakti, Namo Namo. Pritam Bhagavati, Pritam Bhagavati, Pritam Bhagavati, Namo Namo. Kundalini Mata Shakti, Mata Shakti, Namo Namo. Adi Shakti, Adi Shakti, Adi Shakti, Namo Namo. Sarva Shakti, Sarva Shakti, Sarva Shakti, Namo Namo. Pritam Bhagavati, Pritam Bhagavati, Pritam Bhagavati, Namo Namo. Kundalini Mata Shakti, Mata Shakti, Namo Namo. Adi Shakti, Adi Shakti, Adi Shakti, Namo Namo. Sarva Shakti, Sarva Shakti, Namo Namo. Pritam Bhagavati, Pritam Bhagavati, Pritam Bhagavati, Namo Namo. Kundalini Mata Shakti, Mata Shakti, Namo Namo.
Sarva Shakti, Sarva Shakti, Sarva Swallow sun.
We listen to A Passage to Tibet from Buddhabhar 4, Adi Shakti by Guru Ganesha Singh, and Swallow the Sun by Anne-Marie Pauly. Thank you for listening to The Life of Universal Loving. Until next time, I am your host, Tenzin Norbu. May we be causes for everyone to attain the happiness that is without sorrow.
Live your life filled with joyful effort, generosity, patience, moral discipline, concentration, and wisdom. You are listening to Universal Loving Radio Show. Blessings to you.
Universe.